morning. Welcome to Spirit in the Morning. I'm Gary Zimek. Great to have you with us here on this dreary Monday. We've got an excellent show for you today. Before I kick things off with prayer, just want to mention there's no way I can deny this, no way I can ignore it, nor should we ignore it here on the program. We all know what happened in Texas. I think at last count, 26 people were gunned down at a Baptist church service. In our prayers today, let's remember all of those souls who died, who did not expect to die, all of those people who were injured, all of those people who were affected, and all of those people who were grieving. We'll talk more about this after the prayer, but remember this always, God is in charge. Nothing changed since yesterday. We turn to Him, we ask for mercy for all those affected, we pray for the strength to go on, and we remember that He still is in control. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, as we come to you on this sad Monday, we ask you to have mercy on the souls of those who were lost in that shooting in Texas. We ask you to heal those who were wounded. We ask you to heal those who were affected emotionally in any way by those events. Father, there are many things in this world that we just don't understand. We know that you love us. We know that you are all-powerful. And we cling to those two thoughts. And with that in mind, we ask you to help us get through today, to help make this world a better place. Give us the grace that we need to make a difference. Help us always keep our sights on you. We lift up all of our own needs, whatever they may be. We pray for those who are lonely, those who are anxious, those who are dealing with any kind of sickness. And Father, we ask you to speak through us on the program today. May your message of hope go forth from our lips. We ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I'm Gary Zimek. You're listening to Spirit in the Morning on Holy Spirit Radio. Coming up on the show today, Mike Aquilina will be here. He is going to be discussing his new book, A History of the Church in 100 Objects. Also, Mark Pelletino, the president of the Malvern Retreat House, will fill us in on what's going on at Malvern. But right now, Dave Parker, Frank Eliason by my side. Guys,
good morning.
Again, good morning. This is we've talked about these shootings, these tragedies. It seems like too many times.
Mm-hmm.
There's almost a danger, Frank and Dave, of becoming desensitized on one hand, and on the other hand, of losing hope. We can't do either one of those things.
That's right,
precisely. And we were talking before the show, like, how are we going to address this? And precisely what you said, Gary. We cannot become desensitized. We cannot lose hope. You know what? You know, our listeners and we believe in Christ.
Right.
And he is our gateway, if you will, to eternal life. And we were talking also that we're not promised tomorrow or even today, later on today.
Yeah.
But too often, as humans, we forget. And we go into our normal routine, which is okay. We got to go to work. We got to do this. We got to go take care of this, that, or the other thing. And we get into our routine. But let us not forget that why we're here. You know, God gave, we have a gift, and it's called life.
And make the best of this
make
day,
the best
right?
Of this
seize
day.
The day, if you will.
Seize the day. Carpe diem, if you will.
We talk about this, Frank, theme a lot on the program, that we don't know if we have tomorrow. And I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it's a motivational thing. And for instance, tomorrow is Election Day. We have a chance to vote. We have a chance to make a difference. We could do two things in life. We can complain about our politicians, our leaders, our priests, our bishops, or we can make a difference. Mm-hmm. We can either pray, do what we can. We can pray. We can either make a difference, or we can be a bunch of complainers.
It's faith in action. We have the ability to really step up and really bring something better to this world. And you know we've talked about numerous times where faith is lost, faith is forgotten in many ways. How do we bring people back to that? How do we get people to see that love and mercy? I don't know what was going through this shooter's mind, but what are things that we can reach people even like that?
Exactly.
And that seems like they must be this or that. Well, there's something that's triggering these views and these feelings. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we
and
get
these
them
actions?
To,
which
how can we get them to see that the love in the world? How do we get them to see that they're even loved?
I was thinking that precisely as I was driving up.
So I think that that's where we really have to figure these things out. I'm not going to have the answers. You may not have the answers, but us collectively, mm-hmm. we can have a lot of answers.
Yes. You know what? You just triggered a memory when you said that. We had Justin Fatico on the show a couple months ago. He was talking about, and his whole message is, you're amazing. Everybody's amazing. Mm-hmm. God loves you. And he was talking about one of his students who came up to him and said, no, my dad's not amazing. He's a loser because he left when I was young. Mm-hmm. And Justin said, and I this really touched me, and what Frank said just triggered this. Mm-hmm. He said, no, your dad wasn't a loser. Your dad's amazing. Mm-hmm. He just did a loser thing because he didn't realize how amazing he was.
Exactly.
And that's the point.
Precisely.
We need
yes.
to look around us and build people up and let them know they're loved. God loves them, and mm-hmm. they can do amazing things. But too often, Frank, we're pointing fingers and saying, that person's evil, that person's a loser, that person's never going to amount to anything.
And you know, we don't look into why they are the way they are. And I see this so much across the board right now. You know, we're seeing it in, you know, efforts regarding all the stuff going on with Me Too and all this.
Yeah.
You know, where is love? Where is forgiveness? Where is mm-hmm. this, you know, with each other? Mm-hmm. And we have to find that. And, you know, let's look in the mirror, though.
Yep.
It's actually even within our own faith sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes the way we look at other people, maybe people even outside will say, oh, they're Protestant, they're this. Hey, they don't even know better. They don't even know our faith that well. Mm-hmm. How do we get them to love our faith?
Exactly.
How do we get them to love God if they don't love God mm-hmm. or if they don't feel there's hope in this world? I think there's a lot of hope. I think there's a lot of beauty, and mm-hmm. we just have to bring it out.
Precisely. And a lot of times, yeah, the fear that these actions, like in Texas and these shootings that we've had, instills in us, well, I'm going to kind of back off. You know, this is not the time to retreat and to cower. You know, for those of us with faith, we need to step it up. And we have to step out in faith, and we, you know, take a risk mm-hmm. or risks. And it, you know, we have to have courage, and that courage will come from God. We have to ask Him, don't let me shrink from this. You know, let's go out. Let's continue to proclaim the good news and proclaim the love of Jesus Christ. And to what Frank said, share with our brothers and sisters, you know, who may not, you know our faith. Who profess to be Christians or some other faith. I mean, it's about love and taking care of our brothers and sisters, you know, human beings.
And I think the first stage to doing that, though, is looking inside ourselves. What can I do differently than I do today?
Well, exactly. Frank, that was the gospel yesterday. The
it
gospel
was.
Yesterday was don't be a hypocrite. And
that's
I mean,
right.
that's the message for each of us. And to be honest, to put it in street terms, if I could, nobody's going to listen to me evangelize about the Catholic faith if I'm a jerk.
That's right.
I mean, honestly, we forget that.
Mm-hmm.
I can't beat somebody
simple,
over the head with my catechism and say, you must be Catholic, and this is why. Because, you know, if you don't, you're going to hell. Bang, bang, bang.
It sounds so simple, but yet it's so hard.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And so, you know, but take these messages. It is in the gospel. I thought yesterday's gospel was mm-hmm. great in, mm-hmm. like being able to step back. But even then taking it a step further in, like, the humbleness and the, you know, that it talked about, or even the term father and it's kind of, you mm-hmm. know, the way that's viewed, and especially in various parts of the gospel, and, like, how you really look at it as a term of endearment.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yet oftentimes...
Yeah,
we don't even use that as a term of endearment anymore.
Yeah, what we heard in the gospel briefly, I mean, we're supposed to put everything we hear from the Bible, it's the inspired word of God, into action. It's not just words on a page, you know,
right.
that just go in and we think about them. I mean, then it goes to action.
And we also heard yesterday that we all, every one of us, have one Father in heaven. We're all brothers and sisters, and that's what we need to remember. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, mm-hmm. we don't pray my Father, we pray our Father.
Yes.
We just need to treat everybody like that. Quick look at the weather currently at the Philadelphia International Airport. It is 64 degrees under overcast skies. Today, showers, possibly a thunderstorm, high near 70. Tonight, chance of showers before 7 p.m. Then gradually clearing with a low around 44. Tuesday, chance of rain, mainly after 1 p.m., high near 55, the moment in North Wales, it's 61. In Bensalem, 65. And in Coatesville, it is 61 degrees. It's time for today's gospel. It comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. On a Sabbath, Jesus went to dine at the home of one of the leading Pharisees. He said to the host who invited him, "When you hold a lunch or a dinner, Do not invite your friends or your brothers or sisters or your relatives or your wealthy neighbors in case they might invite you back and you have repayment. Rather, when you hold a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. Blessed indeed will you be because of their inability to repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous.
Wow.
The reminder from Jesus.
Keeps going.
Bring it, brother. Bring it.
The reminder from Jesus. And again, this is the dynamic, living, breathing Word of God coming to us through sacred scripture, through today's reading. The reminder is, you're not supposed to do good things so you get repaid in this life.
That's right.
And that includes taking care of the poor, taking care of those you don't like, maybe smiling at somebody you don't want to smile at.
You know, it is taking a deeper look at things. And like too often, how often do we really, and it talks about there, you know, oh, let's invite so-and-so over because, you know, they just had us over. And like, that's our sole purpose for doing it. That's not what it's about. And there's so many things that you could easily go do, you know, and, you know, bring others into this world. Or inviting people over for a different reason, a more powerful reason.
Or how about when we don't invite somebody over who annoys us? Well, we can't invite them because that guy's going to talk my ear off. Right,
exactly,
Dave? It happens all the time.
Yeah, it does. It does.
Well, I haven't had Dave over for that reason.
Oh! What's your address? I know where you live, brother. Okay.
Now, just for the record, Mr. Parker, I did not take that cheap shot.
Yes.
I heeded
everybody
the words of
that,
our Lord in
down.
The gospel, and I was trying to be charitable to you.
Let me get my pencil down. Okay, Frank, zero.
And by the way, one. Before we go to break, a certain football team is the best in the NFL.
Wow, you know, yesterday's game was just, I was expecting it to be a tight game, you know, really good defense. I was wowed by it. You know, I can't believe that score, and you know, just to have it keep on going like that.
I haven't seen the Eagles, I mean, a team like this for a long time. So it's so good to see.
Wentz just looked incredible yesterday. You know, it was just, you know, Philadelphia's needed this for a long time.
Absolutely.
We don't even know how to react to it because the funny thing is we're so used to, like, oh, it's going to blow. We're going to lose this week.
Somebody's going to get injured, right? It's going to happen.
It's called winning. Okay, big wins. All right, keep it up, Eagles.
This is new for us. We love it, though.
I'm from Erie, remember. Go Erie Otters.
When we come back, Mike Aquilina, A History of the Church in 100 Objects. Stay tuned.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for November 6th. Today we celebrate St. Nicholas Tavelich and Companions. Today's saint and his three companions are among the 158 Franciscans to have been martyred in the Holy Land since the friars became custodians of the shrines and holy places in 1335. Nicholas was born in 1340 to a wealthy noble family in Croatia. He joined the Franciscans and was sent to preach in Bosnia. In 1384, he and a fellow friar volunteered to serve in the Holy Land missions. Their duties included looking after the holy places, caring for the Christian pilgrims, and studying Arabic. In 1391, Nicholas and three other friars decided to take a more direct approach to converting the Muslim population. Reading from a prepared statement in Jerusalem's Mosque of Omar, they stated that all people must accept the gospel of Jesus. When the mosque official ordered them to retract the statement, they refused. After beatings and imprisonment, the friars were beheaded before a large crowd. In 1970, Nicholas Tavelich and his companions became the first Franciscans martyred in the Holy Land to be canonized. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by Holly Hill Health Foods, a family-owned business for over 25 years, located at 1200 Welsh Road, North Wales, PA. They offer a large selection of vitamins, minerals, herbs, formulas, and three nutritionists to serve you. Call them at 215-361-7770 or visit their website at www.hollyhillhealth.com.
more enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
And welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Francesca Battistelli. He knows my name. I'm Gary Zimek. The time right now is 7:18. We are joined now by our friend, author Mike Aquilina. He is an author. He's a speaker. He's a poet. He's a songwriter. And he also serves as the executive vice president of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. He is the author of over 50 books. Amazing. Mike's a very prolific author. He lives in Pittsburgh, PA. And along with his daughter, Grace, he has written a book, A History of the Church in 100 Objects. Mike Aquilina, good morning.
Morning, Gary.
Hey, thanks for coming on the show, my friend.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
You've been busy. You had a busy week last week, a lot of traveling.
I did. I was in Bismarck, North Dakota for most of the week at the University of Mary, which is a remarkable place. I gave several lectures there and a lecture in the town.
Wow. Was it chilly there?
It was cold, and there was snow on the ground and tumbleweed in the wheel wells of the car.
Whoa. Well, I'm so glad you can make time for us to talk about this book. Mike, love the book, A History of the Church in 100 Objects from Ave Maria Press. You wrote it with your daughter. Is this the first book you've co-written with her?
It is. It is, and we had a great time writing it together.
Let's talk about this. I think it's a fascinating concept. You take 100 objects, you have nice colored pictures of these 100 objects, and we'll talk about some of them because some of them surprised me, Mike. I have to be honest. Some of them I saw in there, I thought, whoa, why is this there? How did this concept come about?
Well, there was a best-selling book by Neil McGregor called A History of the World in 100 Objects, and several people did imitation books. One person did a history of the Civil War in objects, and I think there's a history of Seattle in so many objects out there. Mm-hmm. Well, I wanted to take a similar approach because our faith is so full of tangible items.
Right.
There are relics, and there are monuments, and there are sacraments and sacramentals.
Mm-hmm.
Because our Lord, because the Word became flesh and entered history, you know, He's touched so much in our world.
Right.
And so I wanted to talk about how the spiritual, you know, enters the material in this incarnational principle and changes us.
And you quite literally present a history of the church throughout the book with these objects. When you wrote the book, was there one object or maybe one place that had a profound impact on you more so than the others?
Well, as we were going through, we tried to go with some surprising objects.
Yeah.
You know, don't just go in there and give the relics that everybody already knows.
Mm-hmm.
But we tried to go with the items of ordinary life as we told the story of the history of the church in various episodes. Obviously, we have 100 episodes to tell the story of a particular, each one has to tell the story of a particular era in history or a figure in history. So we tried to go with some out of the ordinary things like a pill or a pistol or a pen, a pair of shoes, a ledger sheet, a cassette tape, a satellite dish, all of these unusual things, at least in a sacred context. One in particular hit me, and that was a set of bookshelves. And of course, my business for most of my adult life has been writing books. And yeah. I tell the story of one particular saint who was convalescing and was forced to read the books that were just nearest to his bed on the bookshelf, and it was the moment of his conversion.
Wow.
It was the moment when that turned his life around. And so, that was a story of great encouragement because he was a saint who really was pivotal in history. But it was a moment of great encouragement for someone who spent his adult life writing Catholic books, as you have, as I have.
Yeah, you know what's really funny? You're going to get a kick out of this, Mike. I had the book laying around my house, and my daughter Elizabeth, she's 20 years old, she's in college, she picked it up, that set of bookshelves. That's the item that caught her attention, and she said, "That's the one thing that I thought was so cool." So, and we're referring to Saint Ignatius there, correct?
I was Saint Ignatius Loyola, right?
Yeah. Well, so I mean, you touched my daughter with that too. It's so fascinating. What really got me as I started the book, the first object you discuss is that famous silver star in Bethlehem, the supposed birthplace of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Right. And of course, it got me too. I had made pilgrimage there twice,
yeah.
and it is a place, a particular place. What I love about our faith, Gary, is that it's about particularities.
Yeah.
It's not long ago in a galaxy far, far away. No, it's this happened, you know, with these items at this place on this date. There's a tangibility to it. You
right.
could reach out and touch the things of our faith, and they can be verified.
Yeah, and what's neat is you show a picture of each item. Again, it's a nice book, nice color picture for the most part, and then you tell a story. And it's amazing, Mike, how you do that. You use that item, that particular object, that concrete object, as a springboard to tell us something about the church.
Yeah, it's an interesting way to get into these periods of history, to get to know these characters of history. I think too often we treat history as just a succession of ideas. One idea
right.
resolves into the next by a succession of creeds and councils and that sort of thing. But really, history takes place in everyday, ordinary ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes it's merely confirmed at these councils what's already happened. So I really like the idea of approaching history as the experience of ordinary people using ordinary objects, because that's what it is.
Exactly. And I know it's early on a Monday morning, but I'm going to challenge you with a couple of the more interesting objects. The first one that got my attention was the Declaration of Independence. Right? I thought, whoa, what is this doing there?
Of course, because the founding of the United States of America has had a profound impact on the worldwide history of the church, and I do go into that there.
Right.
But what few people realize is the role that Catholics played in the founding. You know, that there were Catholics here in these American colonies, and they had particular experiences. I would love American Catholics to know more about our history during the colonial period and during the period of the founding.
Yes. All right. Now, let me challenge you with, I think, the most controversial item in the book, and you probably know where I'm going with this. You have a picture of birth control pills.
That's right, because I really do believe that the sexual revolution, you know, that whose roots go pretty deep in recent history anyway, has been the great challenge of the church in the last century or so.
Agreed.
The church has been standing alone against this tsunami that's just devastating the family, devastating individual lives, devastating the lives of children.
Right.
And the church alone has been speaking the truth. And I want the world to know that. And what image could better convey that than the pill?
Agreed. And that got my attention. And then what you wrote about it was profoundly beautiful. So good job with that, Mike. In the maybe 3 minutes that we have left in this segment, can I ask you what the most important message you would like readers to get from this book would be?
You are part of history.
Wow.
You may think that your ordinary days, your ordinary events, and the stuff in your house doesn't matter much. I'm here to tell you, and my daughter Grace is here to tell you, it matters.
Mm.
It matters what you're doing with that blender every day at the diaper-changing table. It matters what you're doing when you're commuting to work and turning the steering wheel of your car. All of these things matter in the grand scheme. This is the way God works out history. This is the way he works out sacred history, the history of grace in the world right now through your life, the stuff you're handling with your hands.
Amen. A History of the Church in 100 Objects by Mike Aquilina and Grace Aquilina from Ave Maria Press. Mike, I know you do a lot of speaking. You've written many, many other books. Is there a website where our listeners can connect with you?
There is indeed, fathersofthechurch.com.
Mike, would that be the best place to pick up the book, or is there another place that you would recommend to pick up a copy of the book?
I think the best price right now is at the website of CatholicBooksDirect.com.
Oh.
CatholicBooksDirect.com.
Perfect. Mike Aquilina, I really want to thank you for joining us on Spirit in the Morning.
Thanks for having me, Gary.
All right. God bless you, my friend. Keep up the great work. That was Mike Aquilina. Dave Parker, that was... It's an amazing book.
It is. It looks like
And I was showing you some of the pictures as we were going through this.
Yes,
yes. He draws you in with these images, and then he speaks about them and explains. And Mike's a great teacher. He is one of the experts on the fathers of the church
and
church
history. Oh, I love listening
to Mike. And he just
on
explains,
many issues. Yeah,
he explains such complex topics in very simple ways.
Yeah. I was watching you page through, and then when you stopped on and you held up the page, pill, you know, I knew where you're going to go.
It drew
with that.
Me in, and that's exactly what he was trying to do. He was trying to get our attention. So the book
Absolutely.
Is A History of the Church in 100 Objects by Mike Aquilina. We will have his information posted at spiritinthemorning.com. When we come back, it's time for Mark from Malvern. Mark Poletino joins us. Stay tuned.
I'm Anna Mitchell with this Holy Spirit Radio News Update. Authorities say a gunman armed with an assault rifle opened fire inside a small Texas church, killing 26 people who ranged in age from 5 years old to 72. The mass shooting occurred yesterday morning at the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, about 30 miles southeast of San Antonio. Another 20 were wounded in the attack. Investigators have not yet determined a motive for the attack. The Trump administration says lawyers for the American Civil Liberties Union misled them in the case of a pregnant immigrant teen who sought and obtained an abortion following a lawsuit. The Department of Justice says the teen's abortion was moved up without their knowledge and before they could ask the Supreme Court to review the case. The department said in a statement Friday that discipline may be appropriate against the team's attorneys. The administration is now asking the Supreme Court to vacate a lower court ruling in the teen's favor. The 17-year-old had an abortion October 25th after the full U.S. Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia Circuit ruled in her favor. The Department of Justice says its attorneys were told that the procedure would occur the next day on October 26th. And New York State Police say they've charged a 48-year-old woman with stealing $250 worth of baked goods from an order of nuns known for their cheesecake. Troopers say the theft occurred last month at the Nuns of New Skeet Monastery in the rural town of White Creek on the Vermont border. The nuns sell their cheesecakes and pastries on the honor system at the monastery's unstaffed gift shop. Police say surveillance cameras caught two women taking merchandise without leaving money in the drop box. Those cheesecakes normally sell for $49 and up. With this Holy Spirit Radio News Update, I'm Anna Mitchell.
Hey, this is Teresa Peterson, and I'm really excited to share with you that I'm recording a new album. Over the last few years, I've been traveling across the country, speaking and singing and praying with you all, and I've been overwhelmed by your support, but really God's faithfulness. It's been incredible to see hearts open, lives changed, and really to witness deeper conversion with the simple gift of music. And it's that witness that has really inspired this next project, which is going to be a tribute to God's faithfulness. And I would really like for you to be a part of it. I would love for you to come alongside me where we together can help praise the name of the Lord and help the heart of the Lord be praised, adored, and loved.
Now, Teresa Peterson is a local Catholic musical artist, and she's in the process of raising funds for her new album, Faithful. To learn more, visit TeresaPetersonMusic.com.
You're on Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Take one breath and
and welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. That was Now by Mallory Hope. I am Gary Zimek. Thanks for joining us today on the show. 7:35 right now. Well, we're joined by our friend Mark Poletino at this point. He's the president of the Malvern Retreat House. It's been a little while since Mark has been on the show. Hey, brother, good morning.
Good morning, Brother Gary. How are you? It's great to be with you again.
Yeah, it's been a while because I guess we were doing a couple best of programs on Mondays and you haven't been with us. I've missed you.
Likewise. Thanks for the opportunity to rejoin and reconnect with your program on Holy Spirit Radio again.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks for being with us. All right, we're going to talk about the upcoming events at the Malvern Retreat House. But, Mark, I was on the website this morning. It looks like the website has been redone.
Absolutely. I mean, you actually beat me to the point. I was
I'm sorry,
sure.
Mark. I'm taking
That's
stealing
right.
your thunder,
it
brother.
Was a perfect lead-in without preparing.
Yeah.
Absolutely, it has been redone. We spent the past 6 or 7 months preparing this new website and having an awful lot of work in the background being done to make sure it's well integrated into our calendar and everything that we are doing, our registration system, and trying to bring new life into the website. Mm-hmm. We have not only our regular calendar, but we have a section called Malvern Live, in which we're trying to provide daily opportunities for people to grow in faith and to be renewed and to see what's going on in the church and ideas that might trigger people's own relationship to go deeper with the Lord. We have the retreat house, yes, but we want people to stay connected and find ways to grow, whether they're on our grounds or not. And the great thing, Gary, I want to point out is that we have a link right to Holy Spirit Radio as well.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
I did not notice that. Mark, let's and I appreciate that, though. Let's talk about... Well, I want to talk about the upcoming events at Malvern, but, you know, we let the Holy Spirit lead these interviews normally, and you said something that that warrants a closer look. This idea of a relationship with the Lord... Isn't that what just happens in Mass on Sunday? It's not supposed to happen during the week, is it?
Well, you know.
Here's your softball, bro. Here's your softball, my friend.
God just won't go away, no matter how hard we may try.
Yeah.
The Lord is inviting us to a 24/7 relationship, and there's so many things going on in our life and so many ways that we can be distracted. And there might be good things that we are distracted about because yeah. life happens.
Yeah.
Life happens. But at the same time, we are constantly trying to find ways to enter the heart of Christ so that our heart can be formed more to the heart of Jesus. And that's what it's about. Yeah, it happens significantly when we are celebrating Mass and celebrating the Eucharist on Sunday. But there are so many other opportunities where Christ is saying, stop for a moment, listen to me, look at my ways, and make your heart like this.
Yeah, and that's one of the, and you know, it does require work on our part. And for most of my life, I wasn't willing to put the work in. But it is absolutely worth it if you put in the work and make that time for the Lord. One of the best places that I found to be able to connect with the Lord is at the Malvern Retreat House. And I'm not just saying that because you're on. You know I love the place. You know I love speaking there. You know I love visiting there, walking the grounds. Talk a little bit about some of the events that will be coming up in the near future at Malvern.
Sure, I'd love to. We have a lot going on, actually, in this coming weekend. We have 2 Mount Talbot retreats. We have various Mount Talbot retreats for persons in recovery throughout the year. And if someone is in recovery and they want to find out more about Mount Talbot retreats, please go to our website. And we are having 2 groups there this coming weekend, the 10th to the 12th. Also on this Sunday, one of our big events of the year is Mass, our Communion Mass and Luncheon. It's actually the St. Joseph the Worker Medal Award. Mm-hmm. And our patron at Malvern Retreat House is St. Joseph the Worker, and we try to recognize folks who have really supported Melbourne Retreat House in a significant way, and are very active in the church in other ways. And this year, we have four people: Dave White, who has been doing over 60 years of retreats. And he has been connected with the retreat house in various ways, and is a volunteer extraordinaire. Joe Petrangelo from the Diocese of Camden. Dave is from Philadelphia. Joe Petrangelo from the Diocese of Camden, 50 years plus as a retreatant. And Sam Chairs from the Archdiocese of Baltimore, a retreatant, a benefactor. Another man who just loves Melbourne Retreat House, a great, great lay example of loving the Lord. And the name that's known well in our region, Kathleen McCarthy.
Oh, yeah.
Who has tremendous healing ministry, and she's well known as a broadcaster, as a writer, as a speaker, just a woman on fire for the Lord. And she will be doing our keynote as well. Oh. And I invite anybody to join us for Mass at 10:30 and the luncheon afterwards. They can find information on our website. It seems like this is the Kathleen McCarthy month, but on November 13th to 17th, Kathleen will be leading the Ad Lumina Christi Healing Retreat. It's a Monday to Friday retreat during the week, with a real focus on slowing down, carving out time, mm-hmm. and inviting the Lord for healing. We are having two other wonderful retreats. The following weekend, the 17th to the 19th, St. Teresa of Calcutta retreat for women, specifically for women, with Father Tom Sullivan, who had a very close relationship with St. Mother Teresa of Calcutta.
Okay.
And also the Knights of the Immaculata. This is actually the 100th anniversary of the Knights, the Fatima, but also this great movement, the Knights of the Immaculata. And our retreat director is Father Paul Scalia.
Oh, wow.
He is actually from the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. Mm-hmm. His father used to be the Justice Scalia, mm-hmm. and he is I've heard him speak just a few weeks ago, and he's a remarkable priest with tremendous insights. And I welcome people to register for that. It's filling up quickly.
Yeah.
It's filling up quickly.
Yeah, we had him on the show not too long ago. Father Paul is fantastic.
He is. And then we round out the month with Thanksgiving retreats, weekend for men, in English and in Spanish. So we're going to have a simultaneous retreat in English and in Spanish. I just want to point out also, coming up in December, this is a little while off, but another retreat that's filling up quickly is the Flame of Love retreat with Father James Blount. Mm-hmm. He's another priest on fire for the Lord with a great gift of healing, and he comes with tremendous gifts, a wonderful preacher, and that will be in mid-December. So I just want to give a highlight to folks. One other thing, Gary, about the website, we also are initiating what's called Retreats to Go,
mm-hmm.
and we are trying to find venues. We are actually inviting people to invite us with people like Gary Dimack and Marty Rotella and Kathleen McCarthy and Jennifer Hubbard and others to go for an hour or 2 hours of a small mini retreat at their parish, school, work site, whatever it might be, and hoping that people can have that retreat experience off of our grounds, but also think about coming onto our grounds for a longer retreat.
Nice.
So if anybody wants information about that, they can go to our website or call our offices.
And that website, Mark, again?
Melbourne Retreat malvernretreat.com.
Malvernretreat.com. I'm going to put a link to that on spiritinthemorning.com. You want to give your phone number out just in case?
I would be glad to.
Did I put you on the spot, my friend? I'm sorry.
I would love to, and I will. Our number.
I'm sorry. We should rehearse. Right. I keep telling you, Mark. We should rehearse these things.
I was between my personal line versus our general line. 610-644-0400. That's 610-644-0400.
Excellent. And we will definitely have that link to your website on spiritinthemorning.com. And the phone number is on there as well. That's what I should have said if I was a competent host, Mark.
Well, hey, you know what? God, you said we're led by the Spirit, and that's what God wanted. So that's good.
That's how he works on my humility, my friend. You know what I mean?
Both of us.
Mark, we have just about under a minute left in the segment. I have to ask you, how are the twins doing?
The twins are doing remarkably well. Oh. They are actually turning 21 months this week.
Oh, praise God. On what?
Yeah,
on the 9th?
Oh. On the 9th, and they're flourishing. They're just coming out of real bad cold, but that's okay. Those things happen. And it's just wonderful to see them walking, awesome. Running, climbing, and just causing a riot.
Awesome. Mark Poletino, thanks so much for joining us, brother. Talk to you soon, okay?
God bless you, brother. Peace
All right.
to everybody.
God bless. Mark Poletino, the president of the Malvern Retreat House. We'll be right back with the Be Not Afraid Bible verse.
If you ever need home care or companionship service, call Angel Army at 215-805-8433. Angel Army provides compassionate and loving care to those who want independence and the comfort of their home. Angel Army serves Bucks County, Montgomery County, and the Philadelphia area, and can be reached at 215-805-8433.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. When Deacon Greg Kandra traveled to the Holy Land with a tour group, they saw a stone that legend says holds the final footprint of Jesus before he ascended into heaven. While others claimed to see a faint outline, Deacon Kandra didn't see anything. He wondered if his faith was too weak, but later developed a new perspective. Deacon Kandra wrote on his Alatea blog, "I've come to realize that the most enduring footprints of Christ are not to be found on a pebbled hilltop in the Middle East. They are the footprints he has left on lives, and they are everywhere. You will find them on the floors of nurseries where mothers walk all night caring for their sick infants, and on the coffee-stained carpets of church basements where weekly AA meetings are held. Look carefully, you might even find them in your own living room." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
More inspiring than a cheesesteak. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
Stars came crashing down in tiny pieces to the ground. I was all alone down here, trapped beneath the atmosphere. Then I thought somebody called my name. I spun around and caught a flame. I gave in to a God I didn't know. And now everything is falling into place. A brand new life is calling, and I owe it all to grace. It's so much better living in your world. Savior, what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, I'm learning to be the light. Whoa, whoa,
internet melted with advice no one wants to listen to. A list of things they shouldn't do. So I build a city on a hill and I light a candle on the sill, knowing you'll be always knocking at the door. Oh God, I just want to love on everyone. All I have is yours to give, so let the people come. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. You gave me something I want everyone to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be the light that makes the shadows hide, the light that breaks the curse of pride, the light that takes the weary in its arms. When it all came crashing down, there was only darkness all around, but in the distance I could see a flame. It's so much brighter living in your world. Save you what you did for me. I want everyone, I mean everyone, to see. When we stumble and it all goes wrong, only you can make it right. So I say, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be the light. Oh, oh, I'm learning to be.
Welcome back to Spirit in the Morning. You know, one of these days...
It must be the time change. Well,
I couldn't help that one.
All right, so about a month ago, I started operating the board. Frank Eliason, Director of Operations, why did you ever allow me to start operating the board on this radio program?
Makes it more interesting.
Because, and then two mics?
Yeah, so now during the interviews, I'm on one mic, and on the during these segments, I'm on a different mic. So it's mic four and mic one. So before we came back from the break, I literally said, I'm four, I'm one, I'm four, I'm one, trying to figure this out.
Are you talking about your age or your...
You're something all right.
Yeah, then Frank said that.
Whew. Which is what I said as you went on the
exactly.
air.
Exactly. So I really appreciate
that's
being
why.
Cracked up as I'm trying to be a serious host here at Spirit in the Morning. But at any rate, now I'm back. I'm Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. I almost said Spirit Elias.
Wow.
Is that who you are?
I'm inspirational.
That's right. I am here with Frank Eliason and Dave Parker. Let's do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse. It comes from Genesis. By the way, that song I forgot to mention, Learning to Be the Light by New World Sun. The whole message of that song is, I have encountered Jesus personally. Now I need to go out and be that light in the world and show Jesus to others.
Exactly
what we've been talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly.
Faith is personal, but it shouldn't be private. That's
thank
what we need
you.
To
oh,
remember,
I love
right?
that. Yeah. Can I quote you?
Yeah, you sure can. But okay. It's true. You know, we've got to have that personal relationship with Christ, yeah. but it shouldn't end with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We got to take him into the world.
We got to take the basket off the light.
That's exactly right.
You know, and shine it.
Exactly. Today's Be Not Afraid Bible verse comes from Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And Abraham said, here am I. What's happening here? You know, we hear this, God's testing us. We do not like that. We almost feel, we could feel, that we're being manipulated. What was happening here is God was about to ask Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
He was testing his faith.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's two ways we can go with that. We get tested. There are things that we don't understand in life. We can say, God, you're manipulating me. You're treating me like a puppet. On the other hand, if we really understand how much he loves us, we're going to give him the benefit of the doubt mm-hmm. and say, all right, you're strengthening me.
Yes.
That comes in time. That doesn't come overnight. So I would encourage you to talk to the Lord today. Try to get to know him better so that you can get to the point where you give him the benefit of the doubt when the difficulties and struggles happen and you say, all right, this is probably a test. You're strengthening my faith. Go ahead, Lord.
It ties actually, interesting, a tweet that actually the Pope had, I believe Friday or Saturday, mm-hmm. where he actually talked about you have to have faith that God is hearing you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was kind of, it was a good tweet, like just to get you thinking that way. Do we really always have faith that God is hearing us? Mm-hmm. Instead, we found, oh, he's testing us. He's not giving me what I want, whatever. But do you have the faith that he's actually hearing you?
Right, right.
That's
and,
nice.
And, you know, we're going to touch on this with Brian Mercier. He's going to be on the program tomorrow because we're going to touch about how to pray when you don't feel like God's answering or when you don't even feel like he's real. Because I hear mm-hmm. that from a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure I believe in God, but yet they're praying all the time. So, I mean, sometimes we let our feelings mm-hmm. lead us, and they shouldn't. We've got to be aware that God is present, and he is doing things in our lives, as you said, Frank.
Absolutely.
You have something you wanted to share?
You know, a few things. Well, first of all, obviously, this is a difficult show with what yeah. went on yesterday, and we've said it early on. It seems like that we're doing this too often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, and so, anyway, but there are things, there's, like, hope that you can put out there in different mm-hmm. ways, in different ways that we can certainly, you know, hear what's going on or be able to impact it. And so one of the things is on CNN, I just saw this during the course, right after our first segment, and there's a spot where it says parishioners described as merciful and forgiving. And just seeing that there mm-hmm. made me want to, you know, click on it. Like, what is this about? Like, this mm-hmm. is such a great message mm-hmm. to have out there right now. And, you know, and so, you know, reading the article, one of the things it talked about was the pastor. And so I'll read this quick blurb here. In one of the several sermons posted online, Frank Pomeroy, the church's motorcycle riding pastor, used an image of a Harley Davidson parked near the altar to illustrate his message for the service entitled, "You Don't Need Training Wheels, mm-hmm. You Need Christ."
Wow.
Amen.
Isn't that such common ground to what we talk about all the time?
Exactly.
And then a pastor from a nearby church described the whole church congregation. They don't have a lot of money, but they're always willing to give. Mm-hmm. Said Mike Clements, who's pastor of a church in nearby Floresville, also with the same name, First Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. These people are merciful people. A lot of them will be forgiving with what happened. And so
exactly. you know,
a number mm-hmm. of things, there's always this cycle that goes with these news things. Mm-hmm. And we see it over and over again. And yet it feels like we do nothing with them. But, mm-hmm. yeah. you know, the cycle follows, you know, first is the speculation. Mm-hmm. And there is going to be speculation out there. And I would urge caution with that speculation, until the facts are known, be very careful. Mm-hmm. You know, making this it's a religious thing or it's this thing.
Yeah.
It could be any number of things.
And then rumors might start. And don't buy into any of that.
That is correct. I would avoid that. But then the next piece to that is then we do talk about it's mental problems, which actually it's interesting. I see those things coming out now, and it may mm-hmm. be. Mm-hmm. And then I would say, well, what can we do about those?
Exactly.
And I think we have to take action as a community on those. And then, you know, goes from there to then celebrating some of the unsung heroes. Mm-hmm. I'm starting to see those already crop up, the people that chased after this person, mm-hmm. And some about those. Mm-hmm. But then what does tend to happen is eventually it just falls all away, and mm-hmm. we do no action to take care of any of these things that we find out. Mm-hmm. So first of all, no need to speculate on what anything is. I wouldn't necessarily do that. But I would suggest as we move forward, there's things that we're going, whether, and you know, everybody's going to have differing mm-hmm. views on this, but maybe there's ways we could take action to prevent these in the future. You know, some people will talk about guns. I'll also talk about mental health. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about it.
Be merciful your Heavenly Father is merciful.
And right now we know 26 people died unexpectedly. A lot of prayers needed. So
a lot of injuries.
That's our job, right?
And let's show the love and mercy of Christ.
There you go. Thanks for listening to the program. I'm Gary Zimek. Remember, wherever you go today, God is with you. Just turn around and say hi. God bless you.
God bless.
This show is produced with love by Holy Spirit Radio, inspired by the Holy Spirit communicating